This is Justin from Semi-Precious Weapons.
Tyler from Neon Trees.
This is Tim Nordwin from the band OK Go.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
You are listening to High Voltage.
Welcome to the High Voltage Radio Hour. This is Chelsea, everyone's favorite uncool rock star. And today we're talking about Marvel Studios Eternals and the return of cinema. That's right, the cinema is back. More and more films are being released exclusively in theaters. A really funny marketing term that we never needed before the pandemic because we never needed to justify whether a film was going to be in the movie theaters or not. But on this episode, I'll be discussing four recent films: No Time to Die, Ron's Gone Wrong, The French Dispatch, and of course, Marvel Studios Eternals, in that order. But first, a short message from our sponsor. All right, sponsored break over. Let's dive into our No Time to Die discussion. Now, before I get into these next four film reviews, I would like to remind you that when you're reviewing a film, it is natural to give some light spoilers, and I'm going to do my best to keep them light and not do anything too heavy, but occasionally things will come out, and if that is not your cup of tea, I strongly encourage you to save this podcast and come back after you've seen these films. You can also fast forward till you hear that I'm on the next film segment, etc. All right, let's start this discussion by saying that this, No Time to Die, is the first and only James Bond film I have ever seen. I'll give you a moment to compose yourself. Yes, it's true. I've somehow managed to miss every single James Bond movie before this, yet I still love spy movies like The Kingsman and things that I believe are inspired by the James Bond franchise. So maybe No Time to Die wasn't the best film for me to start with. Let me preface by saying that. So in my head, I expected James Bond movies to be filled with lots of action and cool gadgets and some womanizing and maybe more modern day romance as the films get later in the modern day time period. And much, much less drama. And No Time to Die just felt like a lot of drama with like a smidgen of action thrown in. And I was very confused and frustrated and maybe even a little angry at that. Like, I was uncomfortable in my seat not wanting to watch all this drama. Like, it was just too much drama. And it was also, I wasn't prepared for this film to be 3 hours and 3 minutes long. So you throw in that time length along with this misconception or whatever happened, and I just was not vibing this movie. And maybe I also shouldn't have started with a film that ended up being Daniel Craig's ultimate demise, but unfortunately, that's where we are. So I actually don't feel like it's fair for me to review this film. So why am I on the podcast doing it? Great question. So I'm actually here for you, the listener, because I want to know if you're listening right now, if you are a James Bond fan, I would like your recommendations. Because right now I'm kind of closed off and I feel like, well, I don't want to watch any James Bond movie now. And I've been hearing from some people that this wasn't a typical Bond movie, so I'd like a chance to cleanse the palate, if you will. So I would love to know who your favorite Bond is and what film you believe I should have started with if you think that No Time to Die was not a good one for me to start with. So send me a DM on Instagram at Sprinkled by Magic. That's my account that I run with my friend Tiffany, so you'll see Chelsea and Tiffany on it. So Sprinkled by Magic. Let me know your Bond recommendations, because I don't know what to make of No Time to Die. Moving on to the next film on our list, Ron's Gone Wrong. Let me start by giving a brief synopsis. Barney is a socially awkward schoolboy who receives a robot named Ron, a walking, talking, digitally connected device that's supposed to be his best friend out of the box until his new toy, Ron, starts to hilariously malfunction. Now, the trailers for this new animated film looked amazing, but I've got a very simple and short review for you guys, something that Big Hero 6 fans will truly appreciate and understand, especially after you've seen the film. You ready? Tadashi did it better. Mic drop. that's it. That's my review. Tadashi did it better. Seriously, though, and I feel like I'm about to get into some specifics, so spoiler warning again if you haven't seen the film. I was so very excited for this film. From the trailers alone, I wanted my own B-Bot, the best friend out of the box robot. And I was just not prepared for how emotional this film was actually going to be. It felt like a Pixar movie, and it's not a Pixar movie. You know how Pixar films, though, tend to make you cry, or at least strike that emotional chord that gives you all the feels? Yeah, that kept happening in this movie. And I feel like children won't necessarily have that emotional chord struck, but adults definitely will. So kids will probably love this movie. And if you have little ones, take them to go see it. But as an adult, I like my animations to be a little bit more fantastical. So I was having trouble suspending reality when the rest of the film felt so lifelike and real. Like, for example, and I have to just talk about this one scene. When Ron gets a factory reset, basically, Barney is really upset because he wants his old malfunctioning robot back. And the company that's Apple but not Apple, basically, because that's what they've made it seem like in this film, says that they've backed up the old code to the cloud. And Barney tracks down the server room where this cloud exists and breaks in. And then the company cuts the power to the server room. Now, when you cut the power and there is no backup generator or other type of battery life, the machine is dead. You cannot access the machine. It is not living. Yet somehow in this world, the machine is living, and Ron's friend that is now just code in a machine with millions of lines of other code somehow exists. So I thought this kid was about to become a coding genius that went through millions of lines of code and found the right line just in the nick of time. But no, it was just that the dead machine magically lights up and identifies itself in a way that could never actually happen. Just no. I was having all of the problems, y'all. But with that said, I do think that this film is worth seeing, but just not in the theaters. You know, it's a cute movie. It's a B-minus animation. Wait for it on streaming. And that's what I have to say about that. Which brings us to The French Dispatch, a love letter to journalists set in an outpost of an American newspaper in a fictional 20th century French city that brings to life a collection of short stories published in The French Dispatch, because that's the name of the magazine, y'all. This is a brilliant film with a brilliant cast. As a journalist, there's definitely some added relatable humor. And visually, this film is breathtaking. I haven't stopped thinking about the opening shot with the waiter preparing his serving tray and then delivering it since I saw the film over a week ago. The cinematography is just so good. But all you really need to know about this film is this. However you feel about previous Wes Anderson films is exactly how you will feel about this one. For example, if you love Wes Anderson movies, you will love this one. If you find the pacing to be a bit slow, you will find the pacing to be a bit slow in this one, etc. Personally, I think this was an A-minus film. I loved the concept of telling short stories as if you were going through the pages of a magazine, reading article by article, and like any other magazine I've ever read in my life, sometimes I wish a certain article was longer and sometimes I wish a certain article was shorter. And as such, I think overall this was really well executed. And honestly, that cast was just phenomenal. And now, the moment you're really here for, Marvel Studios Eternals. I'm going to skip my traditional Marvel commentary where I try to connect the current film into my own comic book theories and go with a more traditional review today. But with that said, there will still be some spoilers up ahead, and I'm going to try to keep them as vague and light as possible, but you've been warned. Eternals is the biggest undertaking Marvel Studios has done yet, and by that I mean introducing MCU audiences to more, and I mean more, than 11 new characters with zero familiar MCU faces anywhere to be found in this film. Now, the one thing Marvel has always been great at is creating an emotional investment between the audience and new characters. They really know how to make us care by bringing out the humanity in these characters. However, Eternals left a lot to be desired. Here's some examples. There's a sex scene before you really even know who the two characters are, which feels more like you're intruding on someone's private moment instead of a satisfying, if you will, climax from a budding storyline. Not to mention, we've gone 11 years without a sex scene. We didn't need one now. There's also some character deaths before you even have time to get invested in the character. Was I supposed to care that this or these characters died? I don't know. What does this death mean to the greater story? Perhaps nothing. And that's leaving the multiverse options completely off the table here. Not to mention, the story often had too many contradicting or crossing plot points, just too many things going on. Like, wait, should I even be worried about deviance? What about this emergence? While other storylines either gave not enough information or felt entirely pointless. Like, you can't even tell if you should be rooting for a specific Eternal or not. And that feels like a problem to me. Like, are they good? Are they bad? Am I supposed to even care if they're good or bad? It was just all rather confusing and honestly borderline boring. So, if you want to be confused for 2 hours and 37 minutes while enjoying stunning visual effects, this film is for you. That said, I knew that in the middle of watching this movie that the tags, and there are end credit scenes, those are the tags. This is a Marvel movie. Let's not forget that you have to stay through the credits because there's important tags. I knew that the tags were going to pull me in. And they delivered with two of the most epic tags I've seen in a long time. And this is the biggest spoiler I'm going to say. Eros, Pip the Troll, Black Knight, and the Ebony Blade have officially entered the MCU. I'm genuinely more excited for this than anything else in the entire film. Yet, at the same time, I could see Eternals growing on us in a couple more years after we've digested more Phase 4 content, which is why I give this film a solid B. It's not a bad film, it just left a lot to be desired. And that's it. If you've made it this far, thanks for sitting through 4 film reviews with me. Be sure to follow High Voltage on TikTok at High Voltage Mag and me on Instagram at Sprinkled by Magic for other nerdy insights.